4 HKX mobile.
KFW mobile. You're not supposed to be mobile this morning.
Down to pick up another donation trailer this morning, so that's what I'm doing.
That's what I thought you might be doing.
Yeah, I'm on my first cup of coffee, and I also was kind of surprised to hear you in there, Patrick, but glad you out and about and getting stuff done.
Vicky had a good evening, and you got Ken in here with us. Ken and David here with us.
Yeah, morning, dude. KN4 KFW.
Good morning, Ken and David.
I haven't talked to you directly, but I've heard you in here a little bit. Y'all go ahead and pick it up, and I'm going to get back to my cup of coffee. And in my agenda for today, I'm going to look at a camper down at Skipper's Landing. Might be getting me a little summer place. Pretty good deal on the thing, so that's kind of looking forward to my day. Catch y'all a little bit, KF4NXY.
Somebody's got a camper for sale. You looking for a big one or a little one?
Your little camper there. So have a good day, KO4HK.
For one that's, you know, already set up on a campsite at a lake somewhere, and this one's set up, you know, down on Lake Greenwood, and, you know, fairly close, and been looking at them on Facebook Marketplace.
Got up with you just right at just the beginning, Patrick. Okay, I just threw that in. Daughter's got one. She's gonna sell.
Might check back with you if this doesn't work out and get some details on that. KF4NXY.
But dude, I'm sorry I doubled with you. It's early.
What she got?
It's short. It's I'm trying to think. I should know this, and I don't know. I know it's got a one bedroom. It's not a big camper. It's I don't know. I should have been prepared to answer a question. I just know she's gonna sell it.
You worked with somebody that was shopping around for one. He wasn't wanting a great big one, and then so I just didn't know.
I know it'll sleep two people and a child. You know, it's just I guess it's just the basics. It's in real good shape. It's got one air conditioner, so that tells you about the size of it. A little living room and a little kitchen. You know, just a basic little camper. It's, I don't know what year model it is. It's not too old.
You got something to write with?
Well, let me get next to something. Y'all go ahead. I'll find something to write with.
Get that new truck come next week sometime.
Be good. Enjoy your new ride around town.
Better gas mileage than the one I got right now, though.
I don't think you do anything to get any better gas mileage out of something like that. It just ain't gonna happen. They've squeezed all they can squeeze out of them.
Yep, I got a pen now.
64-4683. And this, you know, takes me some particulars about it and then a peek maybe or something, then I'll see if he's interested.
Okay.
Kilo Echo November.
Found out from her this morning what, yeah, she probably gets some pictures of it. It's a cute little camper. So, yeah, I don't know anything about them. I know they use it. don't know, 3 or 4 times last year. They just take it to like a campground, you know.
Picked up me another one last summer, and then we had that. So actually, I guess it was the summer before that. And then we had it out, you know, several times and that, but a couple of campgrounds we went to in Swannanoa, I guess they're gone now.
Guys are further up. We were just right down here at Hartwell. Yeah, I'll find out about that and see. I know she's not trying to, I think she's just trying to get out of it. You know what I mean? They do stuff on whims, you know, and they, I told her, I said, you don't need to buy a camper. Are you crazy? She said, oh, yeah, we're going to start doing it. They did that a little bit, and that was it.
Life just gets in the way, right? KN4TFW.
That's right, N4AZE.
The way of kids camping, NC9V, Bornabellas.
Leon, KO4HGX.
Good morning, Leon, KN4TFW.
And good morning, Leon, N4AZE. KF4NXY.
I've been here this morning. Coming to Breakfast Club. I'm liking it. This morning. A new one on me this morning, Patrick. They shut off the left lane now. It's like a zigzag pattern.
All right, Leon, I missed most of that because the new red lights on Canoga, they must have some major interference. So, can you come back with that?
Yeah, they got a lot of interference going on there with these power lines that they've put back up. But I was going to say, coming down 25, they closed off the left lane, so now your right lane slows. You get through that, then they close off the left lane, so you got a little zigzag pattern coming down the mountain.
Yeah, yesterday afternoon on the way up, too, so be careful coming back.
We'll be on 85 north this morning, right?
I pray not. No, I'll be going south. I'll do my normal run this morning down to Anderson.
Had some detours up there around Highway 14. They got some kind of washout from the storm that they want to fix, and it's all screwed up on the northbound side.
Past 14, this 14th where I get on to go south. And then when I return, that's where I'll be getting back off, go back to the office.
About that exit on the northbound side, you got to go up like to the next exit and then turn around and come back or something. It's all screwed up.
Tooling on the highway talking to my son on the phone and got the path, missed my turn and ended up going 385 to Wade Hampton in the tractor trailer. That was fun. A scenic route.
Interview with a trucking company out of Knoxville that delivered to this area, and he's saying that I-40 being closed added 3.5 hours to coming to Greenville-Spartanburg and a couple of hours going to Charlotte.
Comes out of Knoxville every day, and I see him every day at the office. I haven't seen him since.
A little late, right?
Yes, I wouldn't be. Here's the thing, that was definitely a great run. That's a gravy run, but now maybe not so. NC9B.
A nice signal.
You don't need any more issues with your truck.
That. I'm still in the excursion.
Is that painted?
I haven't had it painted yet.
That's it. Send me some pictures.
Some parts for it.
Maybe some land I put in a campground. That one they put up there at 290 and 25. Brand hammer new campground. Full up already.
What the attraction is there, but I guess it's just a place to live, right?
Notice it as a place to make money. I mean, you got a nice setup, but the spaces are so close together, and there's so many of them.
Hey, my AC be working overload to keep 75.
Me, kid. In the summertime, I keep mine freezing inside. In the wintertime, I keep it roasty toasty.
About 73 in the summertime. And then wintertime, I don't know, about 70, something like that.
Just looking through channels.
It's my internet TV. Man, there's nothing to watch on over the air unless you like watching the, you know, Andy Griffith Show and the Golden Girls and that kind of stuff.
Girls, yeah, I remember those. You lost your internet, right?
Yeah, it's been gone ever since. I texted a guy on the chat with him the other day and says, hey, when y'all get my internet service back on, when you resume my service, I'll resume paying my bill.
Others went out the morning of the 27th September, and since then they raised me, and I'm on auto pay, and they went ahead and took a payment too. We went to Verizon, get our phones added on to you. We didn't have unlimited, so anyway, wound up coming out there with a little Verizon internet, and that thing works good. We got it's like $25 a month.
Bandwidth that Spectrum offers. We were getting close to 400 megabits per second. Man, you know, I've got me, the kids, I got the grandkids upstairs playing, what do they call that? PlayStation. Is it? Yeah. One of them games. Playing online with all his buddies, and then they got granddaughter, she's on the phone, and the other grandson, he's on the phone, so I need the bandwidth. I really miss it.
All right, for two old people just sit around, do nothing, but yeah, you got a lot going on there in 4AZE.
And it wouldn't hardly work at the house. I don't get a good signal, but my AT&T stuff arrived yesterday. I got to hook it up tonight. See, the neighbor says it works good.
Keep moving the date, for it was the 16th was the latest, and now it's the 21st they're going to do it, is what they said.
I ordered a phone case for this phone I bought, and they sent it for some odd reason. It sat at Greenville Distribution Center for 3 days, and then they sent it to Ard instead of Hendersonville. Now get this, I have another package that's coming the same exact route, same exact time. It went through Greenville straight to Hendersonville, and I got in the mailbox yesterday. The other one's been delayed since they sent it to Arden. They went from Arden back to Charlotte, so I don't know when I'm going to get it, even if I get it.
There was a buzzy sound in there.
Yeah, I think I doubled with him just a little bit.
Yes, I could turn the radio on. I thought I saw something wrong on the radio. I didn't know the... And then it dawned on me the repeater might have gone down. Oh, but anybody out there need an old... six-cylinder engine. You're on a stand. It's a 56-cylinder out of a 67 Chevy truck. It runs good. I just don't need it for anything. If anybody wants one, they can have it. Two little three-speed transmission. Okay, it's 1967. Well, that was back when the Earth's crust was cooling. We read about that in books, right?
Slant 6.
It's a 250, just a straight 6-cylinder.
How about that? I'll see if he's interested.
Yeah, it's just a 6-cylinder. It didn't smoke or anything. I drove it around for, I don't know, one winter, and I finally took it out, put an 8 in it. But the transmission and all's with it a little. It's not a synchronized first gear. You have to come to a full stop. Or just about it to put it in first gear. It was three on the tree, as they call it. But yeah, if anybody wants it, they can have it. They just come get it and load it up and go.
Put it in.
Brain trying to figure out what to do with it. I thought about, you know, I could make a generator out of it or something, but that just, you know, it'd probably burn too much gas. I don't know what, I couldn't figure out what to do with it. I was on, I know that, but it ran good. It didn't smoke or anything. Ray, that's all I know about that.
That's right. Plant 6 in it. It threw a rod. We ended up rebuilding it. I drove that thing for the longest. It was in a van and put it to bed in the back. And man, I love that van. I wish I had it back.
5, Slant 6, little orange motor.
So?
They look so funny when you open the hood.
And the motor over.
Until you hit a big old puddle and that distributor cap right down by the wheel.
Pulled over. Running, you have to pull over, it quits.
Yeah, Roger, dry the cap out and then it go again. I had a, what was it, about an 85 Dodge pickup had that in it.
Nose now.
Here for any of that.
Hendersonville's got one. My sheriff's deputy, he's got one lowered down, he's trying to sell.
It's?
No, it's the truck. It's the Chevy truck, actually, I think. On first of that one, it is a pickup truck, so I can tell you. I think it's a step side, but he's got lower down. It's kind of a bluish purple, I guess. Or should I say a purplish blue.
Like that old stuff like that.
He's selling it. I might have to go up and see what he wants for it. Been sitting there about a week or so.
57, 67, 77, what?
It's not well to tell you. I'd say it's in the early 60s. Late 50s.
Really fine.
From McGraw's Garage, up there, off of Ridge Road, Upward Road, I don't know if it's where that area.
Long ways off. What area is that in?
I guess it'd be considered Edneyville, up there in Hendersonville. That was on the Batcave side of Hendersonville.
I know I keep thinking everybody's around here, but...
Chunk over 50 miles just for me to come to work.
Patrick, what do you drive, Patrick, mileage-wise going back and forth?
Black hole.
Yeah, that's frightening.
He drives about the same as I do. He just comes from a different direction.
You go downhill, don't you?
Yeah, they go back, no.
Coffee. You're just about ready to go fix me another cup. Coffee. I can do coffee. I tried, but it never took. Wife does. My wife, she's gotten into this thing with making iced coffee and... It's a complicated procedure with a big old fancy coffee maker. But I tell you, that stuff's pretty good. During the summer, or spring actually, she started making me iced coffee and putting it in a little mug, you know. What do you call those? Keeps it cold anyway. I tried that for off and on a couple of weeks, and it just never took. Yeah, you was talking a little while ago, I think, about, you know, where people are located. I'm in southern Greenville County down here. Where are you at? Yeah, you're close then. I guess there, a million years ago, I used to live in Easley. My brother and my dad, well, both my brothers and my dad lived there before they passed away, and... My sister-in-law still lives over there on Pickens Street.
She lives down there off 25, Southern Greenville County.
We might, a little breakfast club here might have more connections going on than we realize.
Off of Lickville Road.
25, is that Whitehorse or is that a different one?
Whitehorse when you get up there towards Greenville, but yeah, it's 25, runs down towards Greenwood. He lives out there kind of across 25 from the Happy Cow.
What now?
Cow Dairy Farm.
That's one of my favorite little places to go to. They've got a new building over there, and they're fixing to turn the old building into an ice cream shop. If Patrick's back in there, you back in there, Patrick?
Yes.
Alrighty. Well, somebody else pick it up. I don't want to monopolize the repeater. Been enjoying it so far this morning. I'll be hanging around. KF4NXY.
Glad that I enjoy listening. N4AZE.
Question. They're calling. My hearing is not the greatest. Calling you Dude. D-U-D-E.
That's kind of a nickname after a dog.
Think of a little story. I mean, even further back in time, I was kind of a kid, and I went to the local high school down there in Lexington to sign my sister-in-law out of school. You know, she married my brother, and she was very young, fairly young. Anyway, make a long story short, I had to call my mom and get her on the phone to talk to the principal. And I told her, I said, this dude wants to talk to you. Oh, man, he got all bent out of shape, maybe referring to him as a dude. And, you know, that was just a slang term that, you know, no insult that, you know, he didn't realize that. Anyway, he chewed me out pretty good.
Or anything like that out of me. Nah, we had a little dog. My youngest brat wanted a little dog, so we got her one. She was a little bitty thing, and it was a little weenie dog, and it's 6 months, they hadn't named the thing. And I said, y'all got to name little dude something. So that's what his name wound up being, little dude, and I became dude.
Well, you know, nowadays that's a pretty popular term, and, you know, nobody takes offense to it. But back then, I guess, you know, he was a different generation, and he took offense to it. But anyway, it made me think of that little story. So, but glad to meet you, and maybe one of these days we'll meet face to face. I'm a member of the 610 Club, Blue Ridge, and so is Patrick, and maybe some of the rest of them, I'm not sure. But anyway, we get together from time to time, and you know, like I say, hopefully we'll get to meet sometime, and I have enjoyed listening to you in here in the mornings.
Yeah, I'm not a member of anything. I hadn't done this long at all. Since this storm happened, I had this little handy talkie. The only way I wound up with it was I bought some stuff from HRO, and to get free shipping, I needed a little bit more, so this thing was on sale. So I wound up getting it for like $40 when you figure the shipping. And she turned it on one day and was listening on it, and then she's the one that got fired up listening.
Well, how that is, you know, adding up a little bit more stuff to get the free shipping, I'm helping a friend of mine kind of get into ham radio. The storm kind of got him interested in it too, and I sent him home with a bunch of stuff yesterday, and he hooked it all up, and he's got some questions I'm going to try and answer. You know, it's good if you can find an Elmer, you know, that's the terminology, you know, someone to kind of help you get started, you know, on feed line antennas, radios. When you first get into this, you know, you really have, if it's something you want to put, you know, some of your money into, or if it's something you're going to enjoy, and I've enjoyed it, so I've got me an antenna farm over here, and I got radios everywhere, and, you know, and the older I get, it's something I do more often, because healthy enough nowadays to go trekking through the woods and doing that kind of stuff.
You're about to have the Elmer and not people not knowing. You don't. I don't think about it when you know the antennas and all the formulas and stuff. You don't really think about it. But somebody new, they don't know the first thing. N4AZE. You're a little closer in now, Patrick.
I've crossed the state line now. I'm navigating this cattle gate down through the mountain.
Signal's a whole lot better now. Come on in and tell us what your agenda for the day is. I thought you said something about bringing a trailer in or getting a trailer or something.
Yeah, I'll make my weekly run down to pick up the donation trailer. That way people don't have to drive all the way up the mountain. I run down on Fridays and pick it up and set one of my customer's shops and drop everything off and then bring the trailer back. So I'll be up and down the mountain a couple times a day.
Yeah, talk to the people at my church about rounding up some coats and winter stuff to send up that way with you.
The coats they'll take, but hang on anything else because we're getting overrun with everything again. So we got to kind of pause a little bit and see what we got to get through and what all we need. It's been amazing to watch and be a part of the outpouring of stuff and love for fellow man. But it's just so much, so quick, and the work crews can only get through so much.
I believe you told me y'all kind of got enough groceries and diapers and that kind of stuff. You kind of looking for more wintertime stuff right now because it is, starting to get cold up in the mountains. Anyway, I've been babbling my gums for a while here, so I'm going to step back and go get another cup of coffee. Y'all pick it up, KF4NXY.
Good to hear you in here this morning, and I hope you have a great day. The other guys may be clearing out. It's about time for them to get to their destination.
Hey, guys, and I'm pulling in the parking lot now. So everybody have an awesome day and a good weekend, and look forward to catching you again back next week. KN4TFW.
Again, KO4HKX. Have a great day, and I think Leon's already destinated.
Try to find out about that. I got your number, and maybe get her to take some pictures and shoot you some pictures of it or something. Have a good one. Catch you next time. N4AZ. And you do that. You're gonna bring the trailer back when it's empty and park it again.
Man.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Because I had asked Joey about that, and he. He wasn't exactly sure, and I said, well, I'll ask Patrick. I said, it'd be nice if you do that because we can go back and forth with stuff,
Well, it's kind of just playing it by ear right now and seeing if there's enough need for it. If it's just like you and Vicky need to haul something, I can just put it in the excursion and take it that way.
We were thinking he was, we couldn't find any, what do you call them, the little heaters, them little kerosons or whatever you call them. And he said that, I think he said Home Depot had them. I had a couple of them, I think. But who knows how long they last,
For HKX. Yeah, the little buddy heaters, Mr. Heater, that kind of thing. They're probably hard to find right now because everybody's been buying them up when they find them. So just have to wait and see what all we need. I got to get back in there today and double check on everything, what the needs list is, the updated version. So I'll try to find out more information there today because I haven't been able to get there this week like I normally do.
Is there any idea of how many people are up there that need help? And any clue at all from from 100 to 1,000 or what?
Probably Western North Carolina. You're probably looking population 200,000, just to guess. So there's quite a few people that are going to need help, even, you know, and that's just households. So you figure kids and stuff like that, there's no telling.
1,000 people that got pretty much wiped out.
Give or take a little bit. That's the numbers I've been hearing. Now, some of them haven't got wiped out completely, but that's what the storm kind of done there for a while.
I'm thinking just the people up on top of the mountain, you know, maybe 1,000 or something. I had no idea.
Thing with the hurricane, it's so widespread with its damage. It's not localized like a tornado is. So that's what's making it so complicated. It's not the damage that a tornado would do in the consistent across the whole area, but there's a lot of damage in a very large area.
People stranded? I mean, I know they're talking about the roads they can't get down and people having trouble getting up. And I mean, that many people just in that kind of trouble?
Well, there's roads and stuff to get in and out. They're not good roads, but they're dirt mountain roads, so you got to know what you're doing. But people can get in and out. They can move around now. But you think all these people lost everything, their houses, their, you know, land. And it's different variations all the way through. Some people lost their houses. Some people, the houses damaged. There's people living in sheds. I heard one story where the lady had paid people to pull her shed that got washed off into the creek, out of the creek. She dried it out, and that's what she's living in now.
Patrick.
And anybody listening, don't take this the wrong way. You don't. But people that live down here in the mountains or in the flatlands don't realize what it's like to live up in these mountains. And even for me, where I'm at, is not the same as it is once you get up into Avery, Yancey, and Mitchell, and all that, Madison County. They're different breed. That's where my family comes from. So it's different.
People like us down here, I guess we don't know. I guess we're just ignorant to that. Hey, I know we go to the mountains once in a while to enjoy it, but we never thought about, especially, I mean, who in the mountains prepare for a hurricane?
These mountains, that's not something that you normally have to worry about. You might get a little bit of wind and a little rain off a hurricane, you know, after it's dissipated. You know, it's a big tropical storm then, and we don't pay that much attention. But if you get a hurricane in there in these fish bowls, once it gets over those mountains, and it's like a pinball in there.
Watching the news, and they said that the people in the mountains there didn't have hurricane insurance, and I'm thinking some of these people are 6,000 feet, and they don't have hurricane insurance.
People didn't have flood insurance to cover this kind of damage. So, I mean, that's just it. They're going to do anything. They're going to have to do it all on their own. And, I mean, you think about that. You got a house you've been in for, I don't know, let's just say 20 years, and you don't have flood insurance on it, and it got washed off its foundation. Sorry. That's what the insurance company's going to tell you.
I'm not in the mountains. I'm on a hill here, but I don't even have flood insurance, you know, or, you know, hurricane insurance. We're too far from the coast.
And I don't know. I can give you my ideas on insurance and things. And like I told you before, people wouldn't like it if I was in charge of stuff, because it would be different than what it is now.
I said I'll come up there and vote for you if you want to run for governor.
I can tell you this much. Mark Robinson, I know everybody's trying to run him down and with these stupid attack ads, but that man cares about the people of North Carolina, and he is a good man. So that's whom I'm voting for, and I have a feeling that, and I've met him face-to-face and talked with him, and he's pretty much like me.
About Cooper?
Cooper. I got no use for him. I mean, I'm not going to wish anything ill-willed on him, but I got no use for him as a governor.
He's stating I got nothing for him. The funny thing, they were talking about they had to get a plan together, a mission or whatever they called it. It took them like well over a week. They were getting something together, a mission they called it, before they could help the P. In the meantime, everybody and the locals and everybody else was digging these people out and sending them supplies while they were putting a mission together.
Just our government. There again, we could get into it. Probably better to do face-to-face and not over the air. But I'm with you. Yeah, our government is too big, and it takes too long to react to anything. The damage is done, and they're no help by the point of time they get there.
It's designed to work at such a slow pace, nothing really happens. But, yeah, we'll trash them good when they're not listening.
I'll say this, and there's only one way to fix that problem, and that's you become part of it and make a change for yourself. That's the only way that it's going to change. And most of us working people that think the same way just don't have the time because we're out here trying to earn a living. And that's why our government's got to the way it is.
People like us, we're going to leave it to you young folks to take care of that. You know, I'm in my 70s. I figure I'm coming out the fourth turn heading toward the checkered flag.
I'm praying I got quite a few years left. I don't want to go anywhere. I'd like to see my son and sooner or later some grandbabies and watch them grow up and try to teach them the right way to do things. What you got on the agenda today?
This cold weather's screwing with me. I got so much stuff I need to do and I can't seem to. I'm an outside guy. I like to be outside, you know, even if it's hot, but I don't know. I only come up with something to do. I might piddle with one of my old junkers or something. I don't know.
For HGAT. Yeah. I could take being inside for a little bit, but then I got to get out and move. I just can't do that inside thing all the time.
I know we're in the process of pressure washing our deck, you know, and I hadn't run a pressure washer in years, and of course it wouldn't run, so I went to with a Lowe's to see if I get one. They didn't have any, so I came back and took the carburetor off and cleaned it out real good and got it running. So I might be doing some of that stuff, pressure washing or something, because I don't know, next week we're supposed to warm up too. That'll be good.
I hadn't even looked at the weather to see if it's supposed to warm up or what it's supposed to do. So I know it's time of year for it to start getting cold up in the mountains, so I just don't even worry about it. And I still run around in short sleeve shirts all winter long.
Short pants now. Now, if I'm working on something, I may put long pants on, but in the summer I don't. But, man, yeah, I hate winter. It just, I like fall. Like, right in now is okay. You know, by noon, it's good and nice. It's warm outside, but, man, I hate those January kind of stuff. That's terrible.
I'm not a huge fan of winter, but it doesn't stop me from doing what I need to do. I've always been just go and don't worry about it. Deal with it, move on.
Wintertime, I'm down here hibernating in the shop working on something.
I have a shop, so I don't have a choice in doing that. It's do it out there wherever and go with it.
I've saw my life doing stuff, and especially in the wintertime. But in the summer, I don't spend a lot of time out here, but if it's in the mornings, I will when it's cool, you know.
What you got?
It's pretty good size, 70 by 90.
I'd say that's a pretty good size shop. Be a nice one.
Really a hangar. You know, it had to have a, because, you know, where I am, it had to be able to house anything that would get in and out of this strip. So, in case we ever decide to sell it, we've already had a couple people that built something too small and they lost the sale because the guy couldn't get their plane in it.
Make a difference you living out there on the end of that air runway.
Flying a few years back, I think I wore it out. I did it so much, and I just kind of stopped. I did the same thing with golf and other things, and I didn't quit. I just stopped. But then I said, well, I got to do something, either go back to work or something. So I started work on old hot rods and junk.
How many hot rods you got?
You know, I don't know, 8 or 9 of them around here.
A little collection going then.
I don't sell anything or anything. The kids will wind up with it all. They can fight over it or whatever, sell it. But it keeps me busy doing stuff. You know, I'm working on an old 57 truck. It's been the latest project.
One day I can stop by and check them out. Always been into older cars and that kind of thing. I kind of lost interest in it when I become a mechanic. It kind of ruined it for me. So now being away from it for a little while, I started to gravitate back toward that.
When I was a kid, 15, I wanted to paint my car. I just had got a car, got my permit and all, got my car. And anyway, I wound up renting a little compressor and painted it myself. Didn't know what I was doing, but the neighbor liked it. Even with the runs and everything, he asked me what I'd charge him to paint his, and that never dawned on me. So anyway, I started painting neighbors' cars and in the neighborhood, and there was money in it, and then so there I wound up, and that's what I got into the rest of my life. And then when I retired, I went back to where I started.
Sounds like it's been good to you throughout your life, so couldn't have been too bad or anything wrong with it.
Chemicals, Patrick, over the years, I used to tell people, I painted without a mask for years, it had no effect on me. And did I mention I painted without a mask for years, it had no effect on me?
I got that. And been there, done that myself, so yeah. The chemicals are the worst part of it, and you don't think nothing about it when you're first starting out.
Blacker, which, you know, we still use a little particle mask, but then we got into all the other urethanes and all that, and you had to wear respirators, which I did do that, but I was been exposed to a lot of chemicals. I'm surprised I'm still here.
That's me working on cars for a living. You know, the asbestos in the brakes, the brake clean, the carb clean, the solvents, degreaser, and you know, just antifreeze soaked through your skin, and just, I don't know, a walking chemical bath.
Same thing I did.
Packer thinner, cleaning up after that, and you know, adhesive remover, and who knows what kind of oils and all that other mess. So yeah, ain't no telling all that going on.
There's edges of your fingers all cracking and hurting.
Bad as they used to. I know right about now, man, my hands would be cracked up and split and bleeding. And nowadays, they don't do that because I've been out of it for almost 10 years now, so I've kind of recovered a little bit.
You nailed it. Yeah, they just crack. You don't hurt them or anything. You look at something's hurting, and you're like, well, doggone, look at that thing just cracking open.
And that hurts, too, man. You reach down there and grab a hold of a bolt and a ratchet or pull on it, and it crack open. Yeah, that's worse than getting cut, that's for sure.
In a shower, and the water hit us. God, oh, man, that thing hurts. All those things are hurting.
That or you find the new ones with brake cleans.
Yeah, I still use that. That's what I use on these carburetors. The chainsaw, I had to take the carburetors off and take them apart and clean all those out before anything would run, because you couldn't buy anything. They were hoarding it up and, what do you call it, disaster profiteers buying everything up in bulk and reselling it. So I had to take them apart and fix them. And I was using that brake clean. And you know, that stuff's still, when it gets in between your fingers, it gets to burning.
I know all too well about that. But, yeah, people don't realize all that right there until you've done it. Just like we was talking earlier, unless you're doing something, you don't realize what all is involved in it or the life part of it, like just like the difference in living down here to living in the mountains. You know, it's different coming and visiting, doing it once in a while. You don't get the full effect of it. You start doing it every day for a living, and it changes things.
Briefly, like I guess it was last night or the night before, but he would tell me about his, you know, he used to do the big truck stuff, you know, the motors and all that. He was talking about that. That was interesting.
4-H gig. Yeah, Gary's kind of a jack of all trades, just like I am. So, and he's been really good to get to know Gary over the last couple years. So, stopped by and harass him today.
We was talking about torquing stuff down. I'm used to torquing like rod bolts, 45 pounds, you know, or head bolts, 65 pounds, you know. And I have it on the engine stand torquing that, and it's pretty tough, you know, even at 65 and 70 pounds. And then Gary was talking about the truck he's laying down working on with a torque wrench, torquing 600 foot-pounds. I had to ask him, I said, just how big a boy are you?
Been there and done that. And you've seen me, and even I struggle to do 600 foot-pounds. You're going to get your feet and legs involved in it.
I've done, been on an engine stand.
And you try laying on your back and doing something like that, you're going to find something to get propped up against, because you're just going to drag yourself across the floor.
You know, they had anything you had to have. I don't know, they had a torque wrench to do that kind of power.
And then they got what they call a torque multiplier that you can put on there. Say your torque wrench goes to 100 foot-pounds. You put a torque multiplier on there, and it's a four times, it'll take it to 400 foot-pounds. So you figure four times on the 600 foot-pound, that's 2,400. There's stuff out there that has to be tightened that tight. Now you're going to need you some leverage to do it, or a mechanical advantage of some kind, but it's out there.
A socket, that would be.
Being the 3-inch nut or bolt there, so some of this equipment, yeah, it's got stuff like that on it. I deal with one company. They work on the big pans and dozers and that kind of stuff, and you get into some of that.
I fool with even quarter-inch stuff, you know, like a quarter-inch socket for a hose clamp or something. I guess that's like Tinker Toys.
It is. Well, now, the new stuff now is, I don't know if you've heard anything about it, the torque to yield. Do you know anything about that? The bolt, listen, I'm going to use the head bolts on 6-liter because I just ride fresh on my mind. Head bolts on there, the torque sequence on them, and there's 36 head bolts across the engine. So you're doing this 36 times. You torque them down to 65 foot-pounds, or is it, yeah, 45 foot-pounds, then 65 foot-pounds. And then you torque them to 85, the middle row to 85 foot-pounds. Then you come back and you give every one of them in the torque sequence two 90-degree turns. They got degrees in there, and what happens, the bolt stretches. What you're doing is you're stretching that bolt to the yield that it wants.
I didn't know they called it that. Yeah, we, of course, mine are smaller. They're, you know, we'll do 20, 40, 60, 70 in the pattern. But, yeah, and they stretch it then. You always got to throw them away when you're done if you ever change them. But I didn't know they call that torque to yield.
That's what it's called. And even suspension bolts are that way now. These cars out here riding around, you take, let's say I got to put a strut on your car, I got to get new bolts for it. And you wonder why cost of repair is going up so much. It's silly things like that.
I didn't know they were doing that suspension. It makes sense, though. Yeah, everything stretches and that. Now, you know, ARP is making bolts that are reusable. Evidently, they must stretch back. Have you heard about that?
He makes the bolts to replace that, and they are not torque to yield. They're just standard torque. So that's what most people are putting back in place of it, is just a regular bolt and getting away from the torque to yield stuff, because it's just, that's why you're seeing so many head gasket issues on cars nowadays. Something that we had fixed in the 90s and 2000s, you didn't see. I mean, head gaskets were a little bit, but not to the extent they are nowadays.
Those, I always use the stretch bolts and then just throw them away if we ever have to pull a head off again. But I've heard about the ones that aren't stretching. You can reuse them. I wouldn't do it, but it was interesting. I heard about that, I don't know, about maybe a year ago.
Well, I would go, first thing I do on a 6-liter when I get the, have to put head gaskets on it, throw the bolts away and put ARP head studs in it so that I don't have to worry about them again.
Boxes of those old things and stuff, I've taken them out and hate to throw them out. You don't know what you might use them for that you don't need the full strength of them, but anyway, sometimes you cut them up and make rods out of, weld them together, make a rod out of it or something, you know.
Technology's changed, just like the crank rod technology for piston rods. They don't cut the cap off of it anymore. They just score it and break it because it's just forged powder. They take powder and pour it into the there, and then they heat it and press it, and that's how they make it. And all you got to do is you can take a pocket screwdriver and scratch it, and it'll crack right there where you scratched it at.
Melt off as a powder.
The rods on a 6-liter are powdered when they're poured into the mold, and then they're heated and pressed into the form they are, and it's got the whole journals complete. So when they go to break it, they just put a little indention or scratch on where they want to break the cap off of it, and then smack it, and then that's how they form the rod and to go around the crank journal.
What?
Yeah, that's why you got to be real careful with them when you take them out and not scratch them any on anything. You want to take care of them and don't let them get dented or hit anything metal, because if you do, the rod's no good. You throw it away.
It's going to break the rod when you run it.
It's not like the old forged rods we're used to dealing with on the older stuff. Technology is different, and people don't realize what technology they're driving down the road anymore, just simple things.
Cool. I love this old stuff. I used to do Ford engines and hot rod Fords way back as a kid, but I've been doing mostly small block stuff. Now it's easy to deal with. It's plentiful. But I've got an old, it's a 70 or 70 and a half, whatever they call it, Camaro, that I've got it over here. It's got all new sheet metal on it, floor pans, quarter panel, everything, door skin. It's all done, and I shoved it aside. But I'm not far from thinking about dragging it out and getting back. And I'm thinking about doing a LS swap with this thing instead of a... I just don't like the looks of them. You pop the hood and you see... I like to open the hood and see a old school motor, but I'm considering doing a LS.